Welcome to the airport lounge. Table for two gentlemen? Right this way. Here's your booth. Have a great show.
Welcome to the Airport Lounge, the Winnipeg Jets podcast, much like playing Appleton in overtime, a little suspect. I'm Mike Guthrie, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend and a catcher of Rays, but only if they're Carly Jepsen related, Vaughn Mitchell. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, but Mike, I'll tell you, these days I'm busier than Logan Stanley in his own zone. But I'm sticking to the process and starting to see some positive results. Kind of like the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, well done. Well played. Mid-season form again. I had a quick anecdote. I needed actually some friend advice. So my daughter has started her 8-year-old hockey, and she is hell-bent on playing goaltender.
Okay.
And I have absolutely no experience, breadth of knowledge, or otherwise at the goaltending position. My wife does. But she had a little tournament over the weekend, and I realized that it's going to drive me to an early grave. It is awful. It's just an awful experience. And so a good parent would let their daughter choose their own path. I'm leaning the other way. What say you?
Well, it's an expensive choice. Goaltending equipment isn't cheap. They tend to be, you know, they're kind of like kickers. They're on the team, but kind of over there. And yeah, I think you got to let her find her own way. And, you know, perhaps if she doesn't like it, we'll save you thousands of dollars in the long run. But if she loves it, you're giving her something that will reward her for the rest of her life.
Sage advice.
I think you should support her early decision.
Sage advice. Speaking of which, let's start off with some check-in time. Yes. Okay, we'll go through a quick recap. The start to the season, just like last season, has been a bit of a roller coaster ride. The Jets are a middling 3-3 with some excellent performances meshed in with some real head scratchers. And you know, we finished off our sixth game with probably our best outing of the year against St. Louis, a bit of a drubbing, and it was the first time I could see, whether it's Coach Arneal or Coach Bones, some of the systematic changes we've made come to fruition. But I, you know, in typical Jets fashion, I don't know if that's going to be sustainable. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think you touch on a lot of good points. I do think it was a very up and down package of games, six games where we had some outcomes that were all over the place. But I thought that there was more consistency in the type of play and the level of play over the course of those six games, and you had some, you know, different factors come in to affect some outcomes. I thought they lost to a very good Stars team. I just think that team is going to be in the upper echelon of the league as it goes on. And the Golden Knights game, they fell victim to a couple things, some bad luck. And you know, no save Dave wasn't up to the task. Especially in the first period. I mean, we can look at, patent pending. A copyright, I think. Patent is a different thing. I think it's copyright.
I just got schooled in law. Thanks.
Yeah, take that, law dog. You know, we could analyze each of the four goals that the Jets gave up to the Golden Knights, and there's different reasons, but, you know, there's some really bad luck. There's a bad choice by Logan Stanley, a bad luck, a redirect going off of Dylan Skate, a tremendously poor decision by the goaltender to play the puck. Oh. So, you know, even though some of the metrics in those games tended to favor our opponents, I think the Jets were highly competitive. I think this is a very good group of teams they played in the first six games. I think they competed well. Not perfectly, but I'm left with a glimmer of hope. You know, I do think they were outplayed by Toronto. I rewatched that game. I was out at a restaurant celebrating a victory, Bison football victory. Go Bisons, and was watching the game on TV, so I didn't get the same feel for the game as you would watching it at home. And rewatching the game later on, I thought Toronto was the better team. I thought Dallas was the better team. I thought that we just got behind and couldn't catch up in Vegas. And other than that, we played very well. I think the game against the Rangers, you know, I thought we had more of the territorial play now than what the stats didn't back it up, but it felt differently. The Avalanche, I don't think, are the Stanley Cup champions that, won the game or won the league last year.
No.
I think that, the Jets can play with them. As you mentioned, the win against St. Louis was resounding and impressive. And, much of that without Nick Ehlers. I think that, although mixed, there's a glimmer of hope.
I agree. So we're going to bring back a tried and true segment, the whack to Mac continuum. And so
love it.
So we'll go through each of the games, albeit as tersely as possible, and give our Mac to whack rating. Vaughn sort of set the table nicely here. Our first game was against the Rangers, and we pasted is the wrong word, but we beat them somewhat handily 4-1. To me, the key to this game was sort of Mark Scheifele's coming out party to start the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had 7 shots, 2 goals, 3 takeaways, 10-5 in the faceoff dot, 2 hits, and a 61 Corsi. Like, you're just not going to get a much better game than that. And obviously, his play was one of the key factors. The other, obviously, is Hellebuyck had
especially in the second period.
Yeah, had a throwback game. And because the first and third periods, I thought we outplayed them, but the second period we got badly outplayed. And so setting the parameters again, whack is 1, Mac being 10. I'm going to give that one a 7. It was a great start to the season.
I completely agree. And what I look at is that although they were outchanced from the high danger area 17-13, the Jets were able to convert 2 of those chances into goals. And the Rangers weren't able to generate any goals from the high danger area. And I think that was a huge contributor to the outcome of the game. I completely concur on your points about Hellebuyck and Scheifele. They were the difference makers. And if we're going to be successful over the long haul, those guys need to be carrying water each and every night. And they did. And the Jets won. And I think that it's a pretty simple equation. Now, do you want me to talk about the game in Dallas?
Absolutely.
So I thought, as I mentioned before, that, Dallas is going to be a really top-end team this year. I felt they suffocated the Jets. I thought the Jets had a decent third period. The high danger chances is something that I monitor quite closely. Were 12 each, but the Jets didn't seem dangerous all night. I think the Stars might be good. I think this is just one where, they just might be better than us.
I agree. And if anybody from the Winnipeg Jets organization is listening, please rewatch that game and watch how the Dallas Stars kill penalties. Because that's how you kill a penalty. They were up in everyone's grill, and it was a stark contrast to how we kill penalties. And the Coach Bones era seems to have borrowed the playbook from Coach Maurice and Coach Lowry. So that was one aspect that I noticed. I thought the Wheeler and Dubois line really found their footing in that game. Money Puck has a win-a-meter, and, you referenced it earlier.
Yeah.
It was about 70-30 that, a simulated game that would have been 70% of the time the Stars are going to win. And I agree with you. Just on first blush, right now the Stars are just a better team.
Absolutely. And I like your analogy of, getting up in their face. And it reminds me of a young Mike Guthrie at Olive Garden when they didn't get his order right. You're going to be right up in their face. And that's the way you got to play that one.
I just made that up.
We allude to a lot of things that have actually happened in the past. That didn't happen. I just made that up.
So I'm going to give that a 5.
Yeah, it's hard to go lower. Higher than that. Maybe lower. I think that the true test of a team is, can you impose your will on, like, how do you measure up against the best teams in the league? And this wasn't a good indication that the Jets are going to be able to skate with the very high-end teams if that's what Dallas ends up becoming. I think the Jets are much better and will end up much better than a lot of people predict. But if the Dallas is going to be one of the top 5-7 teams in the league, they certainly, there's a certain distance between where they are and where we are. And it was only game two for sure.
Right.
But, they're in our division. We're going to see them a lot. It wasn't necessarily, a good indicator of where things will go, at least with that matchup.
Yeah, and I thought, though, so we'll move to the Jets and the Avalanche, and we took that one in overtime. And I think you hit the nail on the head, at least early on in this season. I don't think this Colorado Avalanche is as potent as it was last year. Mind you, they did have some key injuries, and I thought the play was pretty even throughout. I think the stats, I think we got out-dangered chanced a little bit, but the scoring chances were pretty even. And the expected goals metrics were pretty even. I can't mention this game without bringing up the overtime.
Yeah.
The Pionk-Appleton-Lowry
brilliant
combo. Oh, my goodness. And I saw a few folks on Twitter just heaping praise on Arneal for this bold strategy. And I could not disagree more. This is a complete and total process over results.
Yes.
You don't try to not lose.
Or results over process.
Results over process. You don't try to not lose in overtime. It happened to work out by 3 inches. If Pionk's corner slapper had missed the net, just as what happened to the Avalanche, they would have gone back the other way and probably scored. I mean, great outcome. I loved it. But let's not do that again, Jets.
Yeah, no Nick Ehlers in this. I know the Avs were missing Gabriel Landeskog and perhaps a couple others, but... I thought the Jets, as you said, played very well. They were equal to the Stanley Cup champs at almost every turn. I think the stats, especially for the third period, were kind of misleading. Although you look at the Corsi, it was 22-6 for the Avs with 82% expected goals, but they were largely kept out of the high danger area. In fact, the high danger chances for the game were only 10 each. So even though they held, they were getting a lot of the pucks to the net from the periphery, but as our buddy Kevin Sawyer likes to say, they were one and done quite a bit. I do think that they escaped a little bit from that lineup decision that they made at the beginning of overtime, but that happens. I don't think that they were unworthy of winning this game or undeserving.
No, I agree.
I thought they played well, and I think we've both agreed the Avalanche don't look to be like they were. And that happens in sports. So take the 2 points and move on to Vegas, and let's see what happens. Let's put our backup in, and what could go wrong?
Yeah, I had the Mac to whack at about a 6.5 because I did think that we controlled large portions of the play, which was not the case necessarily as much in Vegas, at least in the first period. And that was just, you referenced it earlier, that was just like 4-0 in the first, and all of those goals, obviously the direct giveaway by Big Save Dave, he'll probably lick his wounds on that one, but just a series of bad luck, and right from the get-go, it was just, I could tell right away, I was like, nah, this isn't going to be our night.
Well, it certainly felt like the second half of back-to-backs, right? So quickly getting back to the Mac to Whack continuum, I'd score the Jets win in Denver a little higher. I'd give it a 7 or even a 7.5 for the simple fact that they beat a division rival on the road.
Yeah, good point.
Just coming off a Stanley Cup victory. All those things add up. And they played well. So I'd pump that up to 7.5. Now, on the other hand, there was the Thursday, October 20th event, in Vegas. Now, I don't think there was enough time for them to have gone out and gotten to a lot of trouble. But, they did find time to get in trouble on the ice. I covered a few of the... I thought one of the Golden Knights' first period goals was a legitimate goal. The Jets had a legitimate breakdown. There wasn't some overriding factor like Logan Stanley being on the ice and, attacking a guy on a 2-on-1 and just leaving the center of... the ice open for, Jack Eichel. No, you don't. And here's the thing. Like, we're going to get into it at some point. The guy isn't learning. He's not learning.
I'm as stupid as a stupid noise.
And so let's just move on. Let's just focus on the game. Let's recenter. Okay. So, like I said, the Jets definitely looked like they were in the back end of back-to-back games. I'm giving this a 4.5, mostly because they didn't seem ready to play. Like, if you are ready to play, if you're on the back-to-back and you have a great first period and you sink a little bit in the middle period and you lose the game late in the third because you have nothing left, I get it. The human body can only take so much. But they were not ready to go. And for that reason, Mac to whack. This is it was whack. You know what? A one. Because that game was completely whack.
Mid-rant change. Good for you. Yeah, I'll go one or two. It was just not a great performance all the way around. And then the Leafs game, we lost 4-1. It's simplistic, and I think both you and I really try in anything that we're doing to not pick the low-hanging fruit of we got jobbed by the refs. But we got jobbed by the refs.
Yeah, I'm
that
going
was a
there,
horribly,
man.
Horribly officiated game. And just call after call was wrong. And, each time it seemed to favor the Leafs. Despite that, I don't think that we played quite the winning formula that some may espouse. I thought the game was closer than a 4-1 game. But the game just got out of hand. And it seems to me most Leaf games, man, they're going to be entertaining. And I love them. It's popcorn television because these two teams really go at each other. And it's really fun to see that kind of, to borrow a Manitoba term, spirited energy. But it's something where I enjoyed the game, but bad fruit spoiled, right? Like, it was just, it got ridiculous there at the end, and I just chalked that one up as sort of a schedule loss.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I was out and watching the game in a restaurant, and from what I did see, and the stats support this, it was a relatively close game in which the special teams were a defining difference, and to the negative side for the home team, as you mentioned. Believe me, I know what that's like. Right, DJ LaLama, our special teams coordinator? No, I kid. I kid. I love you, DJ. I'm just joking around. I'm just checking to see if you
Shots
listen to the
fired.
Podcast. But, some of those calls, as you mentioned, seem pretty darn weak. I mean, I don't know how the Leafs get a power play after their guy cross-checks Perfetti from behind into the boards. Like, I didn't see anything that happened after that that's just not all evened up. And I'm not sure that was even part of what was called. Like, he kind of drifts for a second before getting smashed in the 9 and the 1. I don't know. This was definitely a game where the Jets needed Ehlers. There's just a ton of talent on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah,
and
that's a good point.
And I think if we want to be able to compete with those teams, we need all of our talent on the ice. And especially, I think we can match up really well with Toronto talent-wise. And their strength is their forwards. Our strength is our forwards. I think, it's a great matchup. But you take out a guy, say, Ehlers on our end, or if we have our guys, you take out a Marner or a Matthews on their end, and it can really tilt the balance. And I think this was a great example of us. It's just another example of why Ehlers is so important to this team. And hopefully the broader Jets fan base is learning that, because I think he's going to see an enhanced role this year when he comes back. And I hope, like, the Jets are at best a middling team without Ehlers, as they would be if they had Ehlers and lost Scheifele, for example. So right now we have Scheifele going, and we'll get into this in a little bit, but we got Scheifele going, Connor isn't exactly going, and Ehlers is out. That's got to change, or we're going to go a lot of 3-3, like 3 wins, 3 losses over the next, 76 games.
Yeah, I'm gonna give that a not applicable. I'm not even going to give it a whack to Mac. Maybe I'll give it a one because we got jobbed. But our last game, a 4-0 win against the Blues, and the good old Winometer had us at 80%. And this is probably going to pain you a little bit, but the Leafs game and the Blues game, you know who was actually really good statistically and otherwise? Logan Stanley. I thought he had his best two games that I've seen him play. Again, I think they've limited his minutes, and I think that we've become really clever at when we're utilizing him. But credit where credit is due. Like, we bag on him a lot, but he was good in both games, especially in the Blues game. And so that was an all-around butt-whooping, especially the third period. It was impressive. It put the tingles back where it was like, okay, on occasions, this team can really do it. Like, if everything, if stars align, this team could do it. And it, again, I was excited. I'm giving it a 9.
I completely agree with you about... okay, so let's talk about the Blues game writ large. I have it written down here as an early contender for performance of the season. I mean, it was an unbelievable third period. I don't think, even though it's early on, how can this game not, when we look back at the 82 games, how can we not look at this game and say it was one of the best performances? It was one of the better performances against a pretty good St. Louis team.
Yeah,
3-0. You know, in the past several years, it was an elite performance against a good team, and the Jets did it without Ehlers. And as I mentioned, Kyle Connor isn't really going yet either. And yeah, something was made of it was the last game of a road trip for the Blues, but it was only their fourth game of the season.
Right.
Four games in 9 days shouldn't lead to fatigue excuses. I'm not buying that. And believe me, that Scheifele goal was something else. It literally got me. Like, you know, I'm a Scheifele fan.
Yeah, I was thinking
about it. Sometimes he can get a garbage goal or two. And we've often mused, the guy that got you out of your seat was Laine. That goal that Scheifele scored against the Blues, it got me. It was such a display of skill. That guy he's feeling it. We got to get Kyle Connor going. We got to get PLD going. We got to get Nick Ehlers back. Then, like, Scheifele's playing at a level. If he can maintain this and we can get support from some of those other guys, then let's go and play Dallas. Then let's go revisit Vegas. Then let's go and play Toronto Maple Leafs again. But, you know, like any team in any sport on any given season, it's a house of cards and it doesn't take a lot to fall apart. But it was an outstanding game. I'm giving this, it's got to be a 9.
It's got to
be almost completely a Mac performance. I don't know how it's not a near complete Mac performance.
Totally agree. And it's, you know, builds excitement for Thursday's game. Well, you've been building to it and building to it. Let's get to the pre-boarding announcements. All right. I'm going to just clear a path because I'm not certain of many things in life, but I am pretty certain who your first class pick is this week.
I have one seat in first class and one in coach. The price is the same because your flight was canceled.
Oh, well, I'll take the first class.
Jerry?
What?
Why should you get the first class?
Elaine, have you ever flown first class?
No.
All right, then. See, you don't know what you're missing. I've flown first class, Elaine. I can't go back to coach. I can't. I won't.
Yes, we are continuing our long-standing tradition of having a first-class assignment for each episode. And as always, our first-class assignment is brought to you by First Mining Gold, providing first-class gold mining development advice and services since 2015. The recipient of this episode's first-class assignment is, you've guessed it, Mark Scheifele. You know, hardly... It's hard to imagine where we are now when we look back at that end of season interview that he gave at the end of last season. It is literally 180 degrees. Most people, I wouldn't say myself, but I might have been reluctantly in the backseat, but not driving the car, like driving him out of town at that point. But, you know, I think we even said on this podcast, I'm recalling now, it's going to be hard for him to come back from where he was.
Yeah.
Well, he's done it in less than 6 games. I think the way he's carried himself early in the season, some of his statements, and above all else, his play, which I think the entire team is very obvious that they're putting in a very different effort when it comes to defense and coming back and at least trying. The whole demeanor of the team is different. And that's led by Mark Scheifele. It really underscores the importance he plays on this team. When he starts doing the little things better and properly, all the others will follow. So for those reasons, and my deep, deep love of Mark Scheifele, I am giving him the first class assignment. Come on up to first class. We have some good food. We'll order you some Nicolinos. You can have it on the flight.
Mark Scheifele, what was on the menu? Class. No strange meats.
No strange meats this time. Who do you have? Who are you going to give to?
Well, first off, kids love something as much as Vaughn loves Mark Scheifele.
Oh.
It's a life lesson for you. And I don't actually disagree. He was one of my two choices, but I was like, I'm letting Bond have this one. My choice is PLD.
Oh, good for you. I
think him and Perfetti and Wheeler have accounted for themselves very well. His driving of the play, you know, statistically, that line has been our best in terms of expected goals. And he's really, really developed into a true power forward, and there's some grittiness. And I'll take some of the dumb penalties because I can just see he's wearing his heart on his sleeve, as cheesy as that sounds. And I think I look back to last year and Kyle Connor had his big breakout. Who was he playing with?
Mm-hmm.
Dubois. Perfetti's had a nice start to the season. Who's he playing with?
Dubois.
Like, I just think he is, again, if it wasn't for Scheifele's excellence, he's easily a top line centerman, and wanted to recognize him for that. I want to keep recognizing him for that for as long as we have them. So he's my first class assignment.
Awesome. Shall we move to the penalty box?
Let's
and I'll give you an update on our, I work hard in the off season to get sponsors, and I can give you
You're
a bit of an update.
Banging the streets, I know you are.
All right, so we ended the season with a phenomenal sponsor, and I was able to confirm them again for this season. So this segment, the penalty box, where we put one player in the penalty box, we've done it to coaches before. No one escapes our wrath.
Right.
But our sponsor for the penalty box is, again, Dongs, Thongs, and Bongs. Come visit us at 1360 Main Street for a friendly, judgment-free shopping experience. Before you know it, you'll be coming all over the place. I mean, you'll be coming all the time.
Keeping it PG, buddy.
Well,
if this is at someone's first listen, there is an actual store in Winnipeg, Manitoba called, what is it?
Dongs, Thongs, and Bongs.
So it's an actual store.
And, I'll tell you, Mike, let me jump in. Speaking of dildos, let me nominate Logan Stanley for this award this week.
I knew it.
Not much. We've spoken on Logan already. I'm not a fan. I know he did. The one thing that I differ from you in your assessment of the last two games is in the Toronto game, he started to get physical. And then Sheldon Keefe sent out Kyle Clifford and Wayne Simmonds. I didn't notice him much after that. And he certainly wasn't looking for either of those guys.
Fair point.
So, there's his chance to step up. Like, you're not here for your good looks, man. That's why I put Logan Stanley for his longstanding commitment to mediocrity and, his lack of play over the vast majority of the first six games. I will admit he played pretty well in the St. Louis game.
No, fair enough. And I echo most of those sentiments. My selection is Dylan DeMello.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Somewhat deserved, from what I understand.
Yeah. His play has improved, and his pairing with Stanley seems to have helped both of them out inexplicably. But the first few games were awful, and even the preseason he didn't look very good. I don't know if it's cobwebs or what the reason is, but he was quickly and summarily demoted off the Morrissey pairing, and rightfully, given his play thus far, is on the third pairing. But in order for us to have any kind of success, we don't need him to do much. I just need to not notice him, and that's sort of his MO, just silent and steady. But there were, like, especially the first three games, there were a handful of plays in each game where you're just like, oh, that's uncharacteristically terrible. So, sorry, Dylan, you're 2 for sucking.
Well, that's a new one. He will, of the long list of distinguished people to be put in the penalty box, that is a new name.
And
as a fan of Dylan DeMello, I hope we don't see his name there again.
Agree. So we're going to do some in-flight entertainment. We'll do a quick statement, quick 5 for 5. Like most things, Vaughn's prepared for this. I, a little less so. So, Vaughn, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, I got 4 questions. I haven't shared them with you.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll be fun.
All right.
And so, as you know, Mike, each Jet this year has selected their own goal song.
Oh, I knew it.
And my question to you is, what would your goal song be?
Well, as it stands right now, I'm actually putting pen to paper for some alternative songs for some of the Jets players. I'm vetoing their
selections.
Their selections.
Well, let me tell. Well, you think?
Yeah.
Because I have sprung this on you. I have put some thought in this. I heard this song the other day, "Don't Stop" by Fleetwood Mac, and I'm like, this song has got such positive energy. You know, that would be my goal song. And then I went, you know, it's kind of too retro. It's too old. It's too soft. I want to be hard. I want to do something punk rock or hard. A Killing in the Name by Rage Against. Yeah, that's it. Killing in the Name. But you know where I ended up. Just Call Me Maybe.
I knew it.
By Carly Rae Jepsen.
Good for you. You gotta go with your heart, man.
I'll tell you, I would be re-signed with the biggest, fattest contract because people would just want me to score because that song would make them so happy.
I'm gonna go a little off the beaten path. I'm gonna go Ironic by Alanis Morissette. And the reason for that is because on the surface it sounds smart and intellectual, but if you really dig into it, it's just full of nonsense.
Yes, much like this podcast.
That's why I went with it.
All right. Question number two. Do you like the reverse retro jerseys?
I do.
So do I.
I really like them. And I understand that the old Aviator jerseys were not popular. I happen to really enjoy those as well. I see a lot of commentary about there's no red. Who cares? They're really slick looking jerseys, and I thought we did a good job, and we haven't featured that older version of the Jets logo, and I like that one as well. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm a huge proponent of sort of the powder blue or whatever you call that blue. I think they're fantastic.
I do like them. I'm going to buy a jersey very quickly. You think you're going to buy one?
Yes. Short answer is yes.
Yeah, I think I'm Ehlers is up for me. I think I'm going to get a reverse retro Ehlers jersey, maybe around Christmas time. But I do like them. I agree. I'd like to see some red in them, but it's not a game breaker for me like it is for some on social media. But, you know, social media, it is what it is.
Right.
It doesn't take much for people to lose their minds on that platform. Yeah. So that being said, I think there's a lot of positive there. You know, people's opinions are just their opinions. You see this list and that list, and it's ranked here and there. I mean, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. It's in my taste. I liked it for much of the reasons you mentioned. And but, you know, I do think that the Heritage jerseys are the best jerseys in the league. And I would. But that being said, so it's a high bar is where I was going with that. Fair. But I'm going to enjoy seeing these jerseys when they're worn on the backs of the Winnipeg Jets in the near future. Question three. Okay, somewhat dated, given that we are now recording on October 26th, the day of the municipal elections. So I'd written this prior to today. We were supposed to record last night, but, you know, life got in the way. Will Sam Gagné run for the mayor of Winnipeg?
If he doesn't, then he should. Quickly. Again, the mayoral race is always just an unmitigated shit show. And just all the crazy folks who like cameras pointed at them come out of the woodwork. And, you know, we won't get into a political conversation here. But he's, we've made it, you know, whatever it is, 35 minutes into this podcast, and we haven't discussed his start to the season and his sort of blistering 30% shooting percentage. But he's a breath of fresh air and seems to do all the right things. Can, you know, we basically found, at least the six games thus far, we found a better version of Stastny, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's a small sample size. He's looked reasonably effective, although there was, it might have been in the St. Louis game that, you know, they got a couple of those really, really big defensemen where he totally anticipates the play. This huge St. Louis defenseman doesn't even see him coming, looks up, and Gagné is right there, and Gagné just bounced off the huge defenseman.
Yeah, he's not big.
The huge defenseman didn't even lose the puck. But, you know, we didn't sign him to bring a physical presence. We signed him to do exactly what he's doing. You know, kind of transitioning here to the next question. You know, it means a Dominic Toninato, the Italian Tornado. is out of the lineup and with the Moose, and Jansen Harkins is not with the big club either. And for the moment, this looks like the right choice. Okay. And Sam Gagner has brought something a little bit to both the second power play unit and the fourth line. And given the lack of veteran leadership that we currently see amongst all of those running for mayor in Winnipeg.
Let them go.
That's editorial note. You know, I'm saying that for effect. That's not my official position as a civil servant of the province of Manitoba.
I knew it.
Yeah, I got to throw that in there. I think you should. I think you should. So, true or false, question four.
Okay.
You know, we have lost, as I mentioned, our good friend of the podcast, Dominic the Italian Tornado, Tony Nato.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the name. So now we have, playing on the fourth line, Saku Menelainenin.
Menelainenin.
True or false, Menelainenin, translated into English, means hillbilly.
I got a million thoughts racing
true
through my head.
True or false?
This is too weird not to be true.
It's false. I saw someone just made it up. It's close to underground. The word for underground in Finnish is very close to Menelainenin, or however you say his name. I like the player. Like his size. He got run over last night, which I didn't like, but
he's a decent player, but we had
something a little going with the Italian Tornado, but I thought we might have something here with the Finnish hillbilly, but sadly, no. So those are my four questions, Mike,
okay.
And I thank you for indulging me.
I've got one.
You've got one, yes.
And there's, I'll preface it by saying there's no real right or wrong answer, but the overall lineup of Barron, Lowry, Saku, Stanley, and Dylan, would you think that is the tallest lineup in NHL history that anybody's put on the ice? It's 6'4", 6'4", 6'5", 6'7", and 6'5".
Well, thank goodness. I thought we were going to do fuck, marry, kill. You're going to edit that part out.
I am going to edit that part out.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. That St. Louis team has some tall guys
on it, too. They're
like,
big.
They're huge. I do, you know, I'm a coach of football, and I understand the value in big, and it's actually an issue that we're dealing with in a way with our football team. We're not the biggest football team. The best team in our conference is a really big team, and consequently, they're really hard to play against. So when talent is even, you go with the big guy. So when you just go for what you just got to make sure you're not going big for the sake of being big. You got to go big and talent, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough. You know, Winnipeg's big guys aren't like
our best
tough
guys
in a way. Like, you know what I mean? They're not our best guys, and they're not dropping their gloves, but they bring a particular physical element, but not a dominant physical element in their games. So I think a little bit is, you know, we can look at our height. You can have height, but not be big, if you know what I mean. And I think that's something that we're struggling with a little bit with the Jets. We have height, but do we play big? I'm not sure we play big.
No, and Vaughn, this is why I love you. You took a asinine and half-baked question and turned it into a PhD composite thesis. Well done, sir.
Well, as a civil servant, that's my job. Take something simple and make it overly complicated and ununderstandable for the regular public. That's my job.
All right. Do you want to... We'll do a bit of a flight pan and see what's upcoming next for the Jets.
Love it. The Jets are currently traveling. We're recording on Wednesday the 26th. By the time you listen to this, they will have probably played or will just be getting ready to play Los Angeles in Los Angeles. They play the next night in Phoenix at the Tiny Barn, 5,000-seat arena at the University of Arizona or Arizona State. So they have LA Kings next night, Arizona Coyotes. Sunday, they're back in Vegas. They didn't get enough fun the first time they were there. And then they return home for a three-game skid. So they're in Vegas on Sunday. They have some time off. They're not playing again at home until the Thursday, the 3rd. And then they're home. They have Montreal, then Chicago Saturday, and Dallas Tuesday, the 8th. I think and hope that we'll have another podcast before then. But that's what the next six games look like. 3 on the road, 3 at home. I think there's some winnable games in there.
Yeah, I mean,
we talk about teams, like there's some good teams. You know, there's Dallas again and Vegas again. I'm not sure if I'm convinced Vegas is going to be good. I'm not sure LA is. But, you know, if we want to, you know, make the playoffs, we got to beat Arizona, you know, regardless of where that game's played. We got to beat Chicago and we got to beat Montreal. So I'm looking at a minimum of those six games. The Jets better come out of it at least 4-2.
Yeah, I'm staring down the barrel of another 3-3. I probably is the most likely outcome. But yeah, if, as we all know, you can't go too far into the season middling around 500 because you're quickly going to step out of the playoff race. Speaking of which, I'm throwing this at you blind, probably a bit early, but I wanted to do sort of like a, I know Money Puck and other sites have sort of playoff odds, but after each one of these segments, I'm going to throw out my playoff odds.
Okay.
And I'm going to put it at a crisp 40% chance right now.
Oh, wow. I'm way above that. I'm really? 65%.
Okay.
See? 100%, I'm at 65%.
Okay. I don't know when Ehlers is going to be back. We've been pretty tight-lipped about the seriousness of the injury. And to your point earlier, we're a good team, but you take out one key factor in our lineup, and it really cripples us. And so we're a couple injuries to our key guys away from sliding down the rankings. So that's just my worry, but I love the optimism.
I'm optimistic. Every team has injuries. We got a big one at the start of the season. We'll get that out of the way. You know, barring some crazy convergence of injury circumstance, I think that, you know, most of the key players on our team have been very healthy for the vast majority of their careers. I expect that to continue. I think there's more there than what a lot of people are getting credit for. I don't think we're a Stanley Cup contender. I think we're absolutely going to be in the tournament for sure.
Oh, I like it. And hopefully we get Coach Bones back. Best wishes to him. Yeah. You want to take us out?
So, fellow travelers, that's it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks for joining us in the Airport Lounge. Check us out on Twitter at AirportLounge55, with all episodes also available on Apple, Spotify, and Overcast Podcast. Be sure to come back next week to the Airport Lounge, because the first round is always on us. Until then, go Jets, go.